Inshallah, there only remains about 45 minutes till the Isha Salah. So if we spend this time in the masjid, and very easy way of spending the time in the masjid, inshallah, short lessons of fiqh and important rulings that we can learn and inshallah benefit. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر فاتبعها وقال الله تعالى ولا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله صدق الله مولانا الكريم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذريته. So the title of these programs or these series of programs that inshallah will be for about 4 to 5 weeks is titled A Brief Introduction into Hanafi Fiqh. So these just act like a taster to actual lessons or actual academic discussions, and it is very difficult in only 40 minutes, 45 minutes to go in depth and discuss big matters. So this is why we just had 10 lessons, very short lessons, so that a person can get a taste of what they should be acquiring or what they should be learning and how to go about it. So very simply, the summary of all these discussions and all these lessons is that what should we do, how should we do it, and why are we doing it? This is in summary what these lessons are. So, the first lesson or the first topic that we chose to discuss today was the importance of taqleed. Taqleed means to follow an imam or to follow someone senior than you in matters of religion. This is what taqleed means. And taqleed basically means, in a more in-depth terminology, is to ask someone for what to do in deen or what to do in religion without asking for any evidence. So you want to know how, but you don't really want to know why. For example, the famous example that can be given again and again and is given time and time again because it's a very apt and a very appropriate example is that of a doctor. When you go to a doctor, then you mention the problem, you mention the issue. The doctor will prescribe something for you and you will take the prescription. You won't ask that why did you give this medication and not any other medication? Because our need is, and we've got a problem and we just want the problem being solved. So this is in fact and in reality taqleed, that you follow someone without asking for evidence. And the Quran very explicitly mentions the necessity and the importance of taqleed when the Quran says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you are unaware, if you don't know something, then ask the people of dhikr, ask the people of knowledge, that what and how and why should I carry out something. So the Quran mentions that ask somebody, and when you ask somebody, then accept it and follow it. So this is taqleed. Now, in a more comprehensive way or in a more detailed way explaining taqleed, one can understand it that firstly you must understand that we are ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow the sharia, to follow the Islamic law, which you could call ittiba'u sharia or ittiba'u huda, that we need to follow guidance or we need to follow the sharia. Why do we need to follow guidance and why do we need to follow sharia? Because the Quran told us ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَى شَرِيعَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ فَاتَّبِعْهَا, that follow the sharia. فَاتَّبِعْهَا, follow the sharia, follow the pristine, divine, Islamic law that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow it. So we need to follow Allah's law that He has given us, Allah's commands that He has given us. And these commands, these sharia, can be found in two places, the Qur'an and the Sunnah. The Qur'an and the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you want to follow Islam, you need to follow the Quran and you need to follow the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that should be the end of the discussion, that we're going to follow Quran and Sunnah because we want to follow the Sharia. But when it comes to us, we need to go a step further. Why do we need to go a step further? It's because the first question that comes in our mind is that when I open the Quran, I don't understand it. So I'm supposed to follow the Quran, but I don't understand the Quran. I've opened the hadith book, but I don't understand the hadith book. I don't know what it's saying. Why? Because Arabic is not my language. I'm not familiar with what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling me. I'm not familiar and I'm not aware of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me. So how do I follow Sharia when I don't know what I've been told? So then we go back to that verse that I mentioned. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. If you don't know, ask somebody. If you don't know, ask somebody. So that's one option, that we ask somebody that, okay, I don't know what Allah is saying. I don't know what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, so I need to ask somebody. That's one option. Or the second option is that you try to understand it yourself. You get those qualifications, you get those requirements, those that education that is required, and you open up the Quran yourself, and you open up the Hadith yourself, and you study it yourself, so then you can follow Islam. So there's two options. There's two options that we can do. Exploring, and let's go on to the second option, that you yourself study, learn Arabic, you learn how to read the Quran, you learn how to understand the Quran, you learn the Hadith, and as a result, you yourself follow the Islam, you follow Sharia itself. So that is an option. So let's try to explore this option. Now obviously, if you want to understand Allah's text, and if you want to understand Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, there must be certain qualifications. There must be certain amount of a course that you finish, where you can say that I am an expert in this. And back to that example, if somebody wants to be have permission to diagnose a problem, to diagnose a medical issue, he needs to be qualified as well. I.e. he needs to go through the doctorate course, he needs to go through university, acquire those qualifications where he can become a doctor. So that's why there's a whole course. After doing that course, you can become a GP. If you want to further, then you can become a surgeon. If you want to do this, then you can become a consultant, etc., etc. And you can work your way up. So you have to have some qualifications. So even when it comes to the Quran and the Hadith, if you want to start extracting rulings from the Quran and the Hadith, somebody comes to you with an issue and you want to give them an answer. So obviously, in order to give them an answer, you need to know the Quran and you need to go know the Hadith. So how much do you need to know, or what qualifications do you need in order for you to be an imam yourself, to take out rulings yourself? So the ulama have mentioned that there are some rulings, and it's all logics. It all makes sense that these rulings have to apply. So this question that comes up, that you saying that you need qualifications, but where does it come up in the Quran and Hadith that you need qualifications? That doesn't make sense. Because if you want to understand the Quran, but you don't have these basic qualifications, then how are you going to understand the Quran? For example, one qualification, know the Arabic language. Now the Quran didn't need to tell you that in a verse to say that if you want to take out rulings, you need to know the Arabic language. It was obvious that the Quran was revealed in Arabic, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he said was in Arabic. So for us to open up this discussion, for us to delve into this knowledge, we need to know the Arabic language so that we ourselves, without asking anyone, can open up the Quran and understand the Quran because we know the Arabic language. So that's one criteria, that you need to know the Arabic language. Number two, another qualification that is very necessary is that you need to know the verses of the Quran. Because you want to take out rulings from the Quran, so if you're not fully acquainted with the verses of the Quran, then how are you going to correctly take out verses of the Quran? This is why Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala was asked that what do you need, what qualifications do you need for you to pass a ruling? So Imam Shafi rahimahullah stated, it is not permissible for anyone to pass a ruling in Allah's deen except a person who is well versed in the book of Allah. You have to be very well versed in the book of Allah. And then he explained, what does it mean by being well versed in the book of Allah? He says that you need to be aware of those verses of the Quran that are abrogated. You need to be aware of those verses of the Quran that are abrogating another verse. You need to be aware of those verses that are very clear. You need to be very well aware of those verses that are unclear. You need to be well aware of those verses that where Allah Ta'ala is talking about something in a figurative manner, in a metaphorical manner. And you need to be well aware of those verses wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a certain verse in a certain place at a certain time for a certain person. So with regards to ayat and verses of the Quran, there's so much knowledge that we need to know about certain verses of the Quran. That this verse that I am reading, understanding, is it correct for me to use this verse? Because it is possible that this verse was revealed for a certain person and not, it was not a general ruling for everyone else. So do you know that there? The second thing is that this verse no more applies. It's still in the Quran, we still read it, but it is no more applicable. It is abrogated. So do you know these things? So that is why Imam Shafi rahmatullah says that you need to be well versed in the Quran. And another criteria is, you need to memorize the Quran. Because your mind should immediately jump from one verse to another when a question is asked. And your mind should correctly go to one verse or another. The example that I give very often is that when you are affiliated and when you have a passion for something. The example is not good, but for example, people have a passion for football. And someone who's been watching football for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, he will have a whole idea of which player is good, which is not good. So if I tell such a person that in the last 20 years, 30 years, I want you to make your dream team, that who would you put in goalkeeper? Who would you put in defense? Who would you put here? His mind will immediately jump to certain players. Why? Because his whole life has been revolved around this hobby, that football. Football, football. So his whole life he knows that in this position, who is the best player? In this position, who is the best player? And what else will he know? That there's two best players in this position. Why have I chosen this player over this player? He'll know a whole history. And if you question him that, why do you think he's better? He can give you a 10-minute, 20-minute reasoning and a bayan on why he thinks that person is better. Why? Because his whole life has been revolved around this hobby. So similarly, if you want to pass rulings and if you want to understand Sharia and Islam, Your whole life needs to be revolved around the Quran. That if someone asks you that you chose this verse, how come you chose this verse to answer my question? So then the person can very quickly and very promptly say that this verse, I chose it because it was revealed for this reason, and the reason that you came up is a very similar reason. Hence, I've decided that this verse is very applicable for you. Now we need to ask ourselves, do we have that much knowledge? Or does anyone have that much knowledge? So this is why it is very important that we are well versed, we reach those qualifications. Even in hadith, you need to know the authenticity of certain ahadith. That is this hadith strong? Is it weak? Is it suitable to act upon? Is it not suitable to act upon? Why is it suitable to act upon? There are so many questions with regards to every single hadith that simply understanding the text and simply understanding the first message is not enough. Because one text will say this, and you'll find another text that says the exact opposite. Now what do you do with conflicting ahadith? So you need to know how to tackle these certain issues for you to come up with a ruling. So this is one thing, that you either be qualified and then you follow Islam. If you're not qualified, then you need to ask somebody who is qualified, who has these qualifications. So then the question comes that who has these qualifications? Who is qualified to do all these things? And over time, time has proven that these qualifications were with the mujtahideen. What does mujtahideen mean? Those people who were experts, who had all these qualifications, these skills were with them. And there were many of them. There were many of them. Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Abu Hanifa. There were many, many. Imam Sa'ad, Imam Layth ibn Sa'ad. There were so many of them that understood the whole Quran, every single verse. Imam Mujahid, all of them, they understood all the verses. They understood all the hadith. There were many of them. So what do we need to do? Follow one of them. Follow one of them. So now the question arises that, okay, we are allowed to follow any of them or follow one of them. But how come nowadays, whenever we talk about this topic that you need to follow an imam, there only appears four names in the list. Every time you say that you need to follow an imam, there only appears four names. Namely, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. If there were so many of them, why is it only restricted to these four imams? Why can't you follow the other names that you have just mentioned? It's a very good question that people can be posed. So the answer to that there is that the other imams, their document, their documentation and their preservation of their teachings was not maintained. For example, this very same question was asked to a senior imam that how come we can't follow the other imams and how come we can't follow the other mujtahideen? So then he gave examples. He gave examples and he said, for example, and he gave a name of imam, which I can't find at this moment in time. He gave a name of imam and he said that the reason why you won't be able to follow him is because his lifespan was very short. As a result of his lifespan being very short, the amount of students he had was very limited. So over time, his students in 10 years, 20 years, in a century, his students passed away. As a result, their teachings also disappeared. But these four imams that we are mentioning, their lifespan or their teachings or their students were many in number. And as a result of being many in number, they spread their word or their teachers' teachings wide and far apart. So their teachings were maintained for a very long time, to such an extent that till today, 1,445 years later, we still can access their teachings very easily. That's one reason. A second reason why the other Imam's teachings were not is because some people say, for example, with regards to Sayyidina Layth ibn Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, some people say that his teachings, his students were not very particular in noting and in documenting all his teachings. So when they were not very particular, his teachings didn't last for so long. So when his teachings and his understanding of Quran and Hadith didn't last for so long, then it wasn't maintained. When it wasn't maintained, they couldn't have any followers, and as a result, there was not many people following him. So this is why it is restricted to the four Imams, because their teachings have lasted for very long, number one. Number two, their teachings have been thoroughly revised, thoroughly criticized, thoroughly documented and preserved. It has gone through a process of checking to such an extent that any possible doubt that can appear with regards to any of their teachings didn't remain anymore. So that's why it is restricted to these four Imams. And back to the same question, that why is it these four Imams? Again, it is these four Imams. Or why do we have to follow Imam? Because we don't have the qualifications. They had the qualifications, so that's why we follow these Imams. So that's, now we have Sharia. You either understand it yourself. If you don't understand it yourself, then follow somebody who did understand it. Who are these people that did understand it? Namely, the four Imams. So follow the four Imams. And then the question comes, are all four Imams correct? Or is one correct and the other three are wrong? So when it comes to this question, then the answer is very simple. All four Imams are correct. All four Imams are correct. Why are they all correct? It's because they, both of them, all four got their rulings from the Quran and the Sunnah. So when they got their rulings from Quran and Sunnah, you can't say that they are wrong. They are all definitely correct. So that's that question out of the window. The next question that comes, that if they are all correct, why can't I follow all of them? Why can't I follow all of them? They're all correct, so why can't I follow all of them? If I ask four doctors for opinions, and all four give me their opinions, and they are all correct, then I have a choice. I can follow this doctor's opinion. So why can't we follow all four Imams if they are all correct? Because if they're all correct, they're all going to go to Jannah. If I follow them, I will also go to Jannah. So why can't you follow all four Imams? The reason is that if you try to follow all four Imams, it is impossible to follow all four Imams. Why? Because each of them have differences of opinion. So if you want one answer and you want to follow all four Imams simultaneously, it is impossible. Because they all have different opinions, so you can't follow all four Imams simultaneously. So that is why you cannot follow all four Imams simultaneously. So that's question out the window. The next question that comes is that, why can't I choose which one to follow? Why can't I choose which one to follow? Whichever one I prefer to follow, why can't I follow that there? Now this comes back to my first initial point. And my first initial point was that we are commanded to follow Sharia, the Huda. We are commanded to follow guidance. And what are we told not to follow? وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَىٰ. Do not follow your desires. This is an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hence, following Sharia becomes fard. And following your desires becomes haram. So the very simple way of Islam and the very simple of message of Islam is, do everything that is fard and stay away from everything that is haram. So if following one's desires is haram, then we have to avoid this at any cost. We shouldn't go close to following our desires at all. Now, when you give everyone the liberty to follow whichever imam they want to follow, you could lead to haram. You could lead to haram because a person will choose what he wants to do, what is easy for him. And as a result, when you choose what is easy for you, what is comfortable for you, then you will end up following your desires, which is haram. So to save you from haram, the ulama mention that follow one imam. You don't decide which imam to follow. You don't decide from the imam's teachings which one suits me best. Don't do that there. Because if you do that, you will indirectly and you will subconsciously or purposely follow your desires. And as a result, you'll land yourself into haram and you will be very far away from following the sharia. You were supposed to follow the sharia, but you ended up following your desires. So this is why you can't yourself choose who to follow and what to follow and why to follow, because it will lead to a very slippery slope. And there can be many examples about this, about how following you picking and choosing can lead to something haram or something that is not recommended in sharia. And there's an example is, let's start off with the example of the women folk who are listening at home. There are two things that when a woman enters menstruation, when a woman enters her impure phase, then one imam says that this only lasts for 10 days. Another imam says that it lasts for 15 days. Both imams agree that during those 10 days and 15 days, you're not allowed to pray salah. Now, if we were leave it to every woman to decide that which one do you want to follow, 10 days or 15 days, then the woman who is very strict with salah, or the woman who's not very strict with salah, she was like, which one do I want, a 10-day holiday or a 15-day holiday from salah? Do I want a 10-day holiday, because I don't have to repeat this salah afterwards as well. So do I want a 10-day holiday from salah or a 15-day holiday from salah? So the choice is very obvious. Now, I come back to the question, are you actually following Quran and Sunnah? Or are you using the disguise of Quran and Sunnah to follow what you want to follow? This is the question. So to save people from this trap of shaitan, the ulama says that don't choose, don't pick and choose. Follow one imam. Let's give another example. We left now at 10:28, Isha Salah hadn't started. And we travel, and wherever we reached, we made it, and it was 38 miles or 42 miles we reached. So according to Imam Abu Hanifa, we were 6 miles short of being a traveler. But according to another Imam, it's possible that he said 40 miles. Now, one option is 17 rakats, and the other option is 5 rakats. Or for Zuhr Salah, one option is 10 rakats, and the other option is 2 rakats. So for a person who like me, who's lazy and finds it hard to read all 10 rakats, if you give me this option that one imam has said that you are allowed to be a traveler at 40 miles, I will take that straight away. Why? Because I don't have to read 10 rakats. I can read 2 rakats. I'm tired. I don't have to read 17 rakats. I don't have to read 12 rakats. It's very hard. So then it comes back to that same question. Are you actually following Sharia, or are you just using Quran and Sunnah to follow what you want to follow? This is where it becomes dangerous. So this is the taqleed summarized very briefly. As I said, these are very brief lessons. So a very quick summary. We are supposed to follow Sharia, follow the Quran and Sunnah, either get the qualifications to follow Quran and Sunnah. If you don't have the qualifications, follow one of the four imams. Why one? Because if you are to choose to follow any imam that you want to follow, you might end up following your desires. And when you follow your desires, the Quran says, لا تتبع الهوى. Do not follow desires. It is haram to follow desires. So to save you from following your desires, Allah Ta'ala says, and the ulama have said that to adopt the teaching of one imam is wajib. Why? Because for you to save yourself from haram and all those things that lead to haram becomes wajib for you to adopt. This is why for certain people, certain rulings change. For certain people, certain rulings change. For example, Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani Sahib, Damat Barakat, mentioned, the usage of the smartphone is permissible for everyone to use. But for that person to use the smartphone who knows that he will end up doing haram, this, it is impermissible for him to have a smartphone or use a smartphone. Meaning he knows that every time I use this smartphone, I always do something haram. 99.9% of the time, every time I use the smartphone, it's haram. So if you ask a mufti, generally, that what is the ruling of using a smartphone, he'll say it's permissible, it's fine, nothing wrong. But if that person asks a mufti, that muftis have, you know, every time I use my smartphone, I always do something haram. I always do. Am I allowed to use the smartphone? He'll be like, it's impermissible for you to use the smartphone. Why? Because certain times and certain situations, rulings change. So, in similarly, just like how it will be wajib for that person to not use a smartphone, similarly for us, it is wajib for us to follow one imam, because if we don't follow one imam, we will end up following our desires. So the likelihood of us doing haram is very high. This is why it's wajib for us to follow one imam. So let's just leave this lesson at that there. And if anyone has any questions, they may ask. Very simple lesson about a general understanding of why we follow one imam. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll discuss more details in it. If 15 minutes and half an hour remains for sunnah, if people want to engage in Quran, then it's a nice time to spend in the masjid. If anyone wants to ask questions, then they may ask questions. Inshallah, the mic will be off, so then you can ask questions.